Ron. The bank holiday walk next year, which is normally on the 1st of January, will take place on the 2nd of January, as the 1st is a Sunday, and it'll start at Wimbledon Common at the normal place, the footbridge over the A3. Timings later, but speak to Georgina. If you are interested, please. Something to look forward to, and that is something new from the KURC Kitchen Publishers. So forget your Justin Bieber calendars this year or calendars with kittens doing cute things, and instead go for the KURC calendar, which will be on sale next week for £8, and it features some of Jenny Tarbert's stunning photography. If you'd like to place a pre-order, speak to Bron or to Ray. And now I think Madge would like to gain your support for decorating the church next week.
Hello, everybody. I hope you all saw the notice last week in the church news about the flower workshop next Saturday morning. But just in case you haven't seen it yet, I want to remind you that we're having a workshop next Saturday morning when we'll be decorating the church for Christmas. And it would be great if we could have lots and lots of people helping, men particularly, as well as all our ladies. So we'll be starting at 10 o'clock and we should be finished about 12. We'd also like some holly, preferably with berries, but even with greenery. And if you can acquire some, either in your garden or some friend's gardens, please bring it, or if not, if you like to leave it in the church beforehand. That would be a great help. And I'm also still hoping for some more contributions to the Poinsettia Fund. So I'll be around after the service if you'd like to see me then. So I hope you can all help. Thank you.
I've got great visions of you all rushing round with pliers and nicking holly out your neighbour's garden and me having to trundle down to the police to vouch on your behalf. Conrad, up you get, man. Up you get. Conrad here has been working and studying in the UK. He's had a really rough time, and his situation is not something that our glorious country should be proud of. But he is now he's going to have to go back to Sri Lanka, which is where he's from, and we've had to organise that for him. So I want us to pray for him as he goes on his way. So let's pray. We thank you, God, for those people who want to improve themselves through education, through experience of life overseas. We pray for all those people for whom it does not work out as they had expected. We ask that you would strengthen Conrad as he goes home to Sri Lanka. We pray that he would find a church where he can make his contribution. And we thank you for the positive experiences that he's had of Christians in this country. Bless him. Protect him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. a voice cries out, "Prepare in the wilderness a road for the Lord. Clear the way in the desert for our God. Comfort my people," says our God. "Comfort them." We join to sing, "On Jordan's bank the Baptists cry." Join together to pray. Let's pray. Holy God, who is there like you in heaven or earth? A God of mercy and justice, who levels the mountains and fills the valleys. We thank you that in Christ, your desire is for there to be a level playing field, free from all the obstacles that are keeping us from knowing you. Merciful God, forgive us for those times when we have built mountains, created valleys, that would stop people from experiencing your justice, your freedom, your equity for which Christ died. Have mercy on us for those times when we do not display the comfort, the tenderness towards those that are hurting. And when we are tempted to turn our backs and walk away, give us the vision of a patient, loving, good shepherd who gathers the lost in his arms and loves them. Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, Peter or Nikhil, which one of you is going to come forward and light these two candles? Which one? No, Peter or Nikhil, which one? Peter? Peter, up you come. I'll get you again, Nikhil, eh? Oh. Two candles, please. And can I just say, I think it's really bad taste that you've got that horrible top on this day. That's what comes when 11 men take on 12, you know. But I'm not bitter. Go on. That's it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Candle burns. A sign of God's word. God of the prophets, who comes to us again this Advent. May God's word be a light to our feet, a light on our path. In loads of families, there are words, sayings that have developed through the years. I'm sure you've got examples in your family of daft wee sayings that remind you of somebody who used to say whatever it was. And I'm just giving you a minute to think about them, and then we'll share some of your wacky sayings. The word that the writer of the Gospel according to Mark heard was a very old word. It was centuries and centuries old. And he remembered the word of God through the prophet Isaiah. And when John the Baptist came, he put the two things together and presented them as pointing towards Jesus. Now, I would suspect that none of us are going to say any words that are as important as that, nor are we going to say any words that are going to last as long. But we might say some words that might shape some people along the way. And we also might be aware and cautious then about the words that we say. But we won't go there now. We'll just go for some silliness. So, who has got a family saying that somebody said that reminds them? And I can't believe it's only my family, because that would be... All right, Kevin, go on. Right. His nan used to say, when you were being lazy, have you got a bone in your leg? Go on, Glyn.
When we lost my father, what was his name? He used to say, a
wee
worm or
that's sweet. What? Anybody else got any daft sayings? Janine, shout it out, please. Her father used to say, if you were messing with your nose, he would say that you were unpacking your trunk. Anybody else? Any? So the challenge. Oh, go on, Barbara. Right, that's the place to stop. We're going to sing, Father, I Place Into Your Hands. Stella, would you like to wave your hands, please? Let people see who you are. If you would be prepared to read some Sunday morning, would you please give your name to Stella, a contact number, so you can she can ask you. That would be great. John the Baptizer drew to himself followers who sought to live out a purified way of Judaism and together in the desert. He attacked both Jewish complacency and Roman corruption, and for that he paid with his life. Such a prophetic community would herald the coming of the Messiah. Was Jesus that Messiah? Christians, of course, would answer the question with a resounding yes. This passage you read to us by Alan Johnson.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began as the prophet Isaiah had written, God said, I will send my messenger ahead of you to clear the way for you. Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him to travel. So John appeared in the desert, baptizing and preaching. Turn away from your sins and be baptized, he told the people. And God will forgive you your sins. Many people from the province of Judea and the city of Jerusalem went out to hear John. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the River Jordan. John wore clothes of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He announced to the people, the man who will come after me is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to bend down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. I know that we're all different, and I know that some of you will think this is nuts, but in our house, the death of Gary Speed last Sunday has cast a very long and a very dark shadow. Gary Speed was a faithful servant of that pile of idiots, or our glorious club, Newcastle United, depending on the day, and a consummate professional footballer. He played for other people, he managed a couple of teams, but we don't care about that. What struck me, apart from the warm words that everybody said about him, and the shock and the sadness and the tears in people's voices, that the man who was chatting in the Match of the Day studio, arranging that this weekend he would be going up to Alan Shearer's house with his wife, would go home and take his own life, hang himself in his garage, and leave his wife to find his body. What a terrible thing. And how more terrible is it, my friends, that other people have tales to tell that are similar. Alice's boyfriend has two friends who've done the same thing. And of course, this whole shadow was in my mind as I'm thinking about the prophet Isaiah and John the Baptizer and, of course, Jesus. The loneliness, the isolation, or at the very least, the aloneness, isolated. I am on my own. At least the prophets had the sense that they were saying something that they believed to be true and right, and they knew that the chances were that other people round about them weren't going to like it, but they had to do it, and they knew that their mission would leave them isolated, and they were doing what they thought was right. But the experience of aloneness. So here is John in the desert, outside the city wall. And he offers a word that would change everything inside the city and everything everywhere. And there are times when we need to be alone. There are times when you need to get into the desert, whatever the desert means to you. Times when you need to think. Times when you need to let the noise in your head still. Alone. Just me, the bread that was broken, just for me, and everybody else is invisible, and everybody else doesn't matter, it's just me and my spiritual journey and the God who loves me. And then there are times when we need to be with others. Us. Our burdens shared together. We will take this on. And there are human experiences. There is death. There is delight. There is depression. And we will face it together. And there's the blood of Christ that is shed for us. And you being here with me makes it better for me. And your coughing and your shuffling and your hearing aid that whines and your crying does not get in the way of my time of worship, because it is part of it. If it was a lecture, then I might get hopping mad, but it's not. Our time together is not a bubble outside of human experience and human frailty. And that is good news. Our life together is not outside of our religious life. So it is good news that we are a collection of people who try to help each other. And it is important to find people that we can talk to when it gets too much. And I hope you all know that there are people in our church that you could talk to. And believe me, I don't mean me, because some of you will find me as irritating as possible. And that's just the ones that I'm related to. But to find somebody that you can talk to. And we are a people who try not to be judging and gossiping and pointing our fingers. But we try to be listening and sharing our experience of knowing that we are in this together. To be able To find that is a precious experience indeed. And we, in our churches, we just take that for granted. People are interested in us. But you know what? There are a whole wad of people who know nothing of it. But my friends, if somebody is going to listen, somebody else needs to speak. Sometimes it's a very difficult and it feels a very dangerous thing to take the risk to share. So the passage from Mark, with its birthless narrative. Good news. Good news that there are people who are prepared to speak out on their own and to go ahead of all the rest of us and have a word about justice and inclusion, about mercy, about God, about truth. And they're not worried about what other people are thinking about them. They know that it's right and they're going to say it out. And the challenge for us, of course, is to listen, because even in the wackiest of statements, if you give it a moment, quite often there is a grain of truth and the Lord is at work. And it is good news that people are able to discern truths from the past and speak a language that is an echo of the voice of God in our times. And it is good news that people can learn to be on their own, like John the Baptizer. But the best news is that he, the one that John pointed to, he has come for us. And more of that over the days ahead. Let us be still, and then we will pray. The voice of God is the voice crying out for justice. We pray with the people who only hear tormenting voices, raging inside their heads, self-destructive voices, voices that say, "You're no good, you're wicked, you're no one." For those who over this season are assaulted by a babble of voices saying, "You need this, you must have it, you want that, buy this product and your Christmas will be perfect or you will be more beautiful." Those who don't think their voice counts. Their mouths move, but nobody listens. Alone, isolated, alienated, divorced, difficult. Like us then. May we find people to talk to, people that we can trust. May we have the courage to speak out a word even when it is unpopular. And may we listen with confidence for your voice of comfort, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer our sacrifice of praise and the service of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn number 453, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ. We believe that this table does not belong to us. It belongs to the Lord himself. Therefore, all are welcome here. If you would rather not, then please pass the elements by. But that choice is yours. We would eat and drink with you. When you get the plate with the bread on it, you'll see that there is some biscuit. That is for those people who have issues around gluten and wheat. And for all of us, the wine that we drink has no alcohol in it. So those of us who have issues with alcohol, we can drink together. Hear the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all of you that are weary and are carrying a heavy load, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus and following his example, we take this bread and this cup and we give thanks. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for those preachers and teachers, politicians and business people who speak a word of truth in our country and in our world. Those who say something that is against their own company interest or against their party line and yet are called to speak the truth. We thank you for people of courage. We thank you for those who have spoken a word that has changed our lives. And we thank you for those times when we have heard an echo, a murmur of your truth in an encounter. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you of his giving of himself, for his speaking truth in the stories in the scriptures where he says to people things that they do not want to hear. To individuals, as well as to groups of people. We thank you for his example. We thank you for his life, his death, his resurrection. And we thank you that he is present with us now through this bread and this wine. Pour out your spirit. And may this time take us back to all those places where we have encountered you, Lord Jesus, been challenged, and known that we are loved and affirmed. Thank you. We pray in your name. Amen. At dinner, with friends, he took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And the cup and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ.